yourselves, this is a 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean 24 hours a day that we pray, and it is not making a reference to the fact that we keep prayer on our mind every hour of every day. What then does it mean? From my considerations, and I use this verse a lot of times, and read it a lot of times through the years. It means don't give up praying. Don't stop praying. Pray every day if you can, or every day that you can. And pray many times a day. Christians who have lived quite a few years, don't take very long, but even a few years, even as you live day by day, your heart and mind send up affections and prayers, momentary prayers, throughout the day when this, that, or the other takes place. You thank God or rejoice and thank God. And so that we, while we're not praying 24 hours a day, we do pray a lot of times in any given day. And he is, in my opinion, this is pointing more in that direction. Pray without ceasing. Verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And children, for that to be there, if you are not a believer as yet, I want to impress this upon your mind, that prayer is so much a part of the Christian life that people who are not given over to much prayer, it is very questionable whether they are really Christians or not. Don't give up on prayer. Don't ever quit praying. Again, to you who have not had many years behind you as Christians, there are lots and lots of hard, bad things that happen. Tonight, we acknowledge that Kathy Fellows has cancer, and a very serious cancer, and Brother Cook's wife has died from cancer, and Paul Brown was killed in a motorcycle accident in Thailand. And so that brings us home to us very feelingly that we need to be praying. In praying, we make requests, we make supplications, we offer praise, we offer thanks, we offer up our affections to God, love and praise offerings, and glorying in the great God of heaven and earth, and other things as well. And I chose this text because it cannot but inform us of the importance, necessity, and utility of prayer. It is a very short verse, one of the shortest verses in Scripture, I'm supposing, since it only has three words. The verse before it just has two. But pray without ceasing. You can memorize it right now, even you little children. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is among the most important things of the Christian life. Now, this is addressed to churches, but assuredly to individual saints also. If any seeker is serious, and a seeker, children, is someone who is thinking on God and thinking seriously about God and asking God to save him, but you cannot say or feel as yet that God has saved you. If any seeker is serious, it has great importance for him as well. A serious consideration of our text should convince us of several things. First, God wants his children to commune with him. Amen. God, the eternal, infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent God, wants we creatures of time to fellowship with him. No matter what our treacherous feelings tell us, this text clearly indicates God's willingness to commune or fellowship with his people. And don't you let that get away from you. Don't think, well, I'm so sorry that God wouldn't want to be fellowshipping with me. Well, Satan will be sure, if you're a Christian, to make you feel that, to make you think that. That's why verses like this are in here. Pray without ceasing. God does want to commune with you. He does want to fellowship with you. So don't give up on prayers, whatever happens in your life. He encourages whoever will to bring their biblical heart's desires before his throne of grace and mercy. He commands prayer. The verse on its face indicates prayer often, prayer very often, persistence in prayer, fervency in prayer. And persevering prayer, heartfelt, purposeful, trusting prayer. If God didn't intend to hear, receive, and answer prayers, he would not command them. You need to keep that in mind. If you feel like, well, what, I'm not getting anywhere, however sorry you're feeling that caused you to feel like prayer is not working, God communes with his people. They commune with him in prayer. He communes with him by working in their minds and working in their affections and so forth. If God didn't intend to hear, receive, and answer prayers, he would not command them and certainly not pray without ceasing. What a powerful little three words. There's much cause to pray, and your own heart will suggest many things to seek God about if you're serious-minded. No one could give us a comprehensive list, and absolutely comprehensive concerning prayer. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, we have another note on prayer, but I'll read 1 and 2. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just, that which is right. And equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven, continue, that is, persevere, in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. There's a bold and a strong and big declaration to continue in prayer. That is, don't give up on prayer. Don't quit on prayer. And in James chapter 5, verse 16. I'll read from 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. Pray for one another. I'll make that one of my points. Although I'm going on in it with other things, but Christians should certainly pray for one another. Every real Christian knows what a wonderful thing salvation is. And if he's a real Christian and abiding in converse with Christians, he knows that their minds, though they are from different, maybe even different races or different nations, their minds concerning Christ, concerning God, are the same as theirs if they are Christians. You have much to agree with about God. James chapter 5 and verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Doesn't say, well, it may help you a little bit. It says to be consistent in prayer, in the worship of God, in the love of God, and telling him so, and consistent in confessing your sins and seeking to be more righteous and stronger in the Lord. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. And in Luke chapter 11, it has two portions for us. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, but yet because of his importunity, that's his pleading and so forth, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Now, you're going to be doing that in prayer when you're dealing with God. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, the Lord was not very good about flattering us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And then, the last passage in chapter 18 of Luke. Verses 1 through 6. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up on prayer. Don't quit praying, no matter what kind of hard knocks you get, no matter who lives and who dies or who's sick or whatever. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men, didn't have any respect for God or man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. That's another reason to be consistent in prayer. Well, we'll press on. Some generalities concerning prayer. Number one, if Christians pay no mind to God speaking to them and teaching them, then don't let them complain if God pays as little attention to their words as they do to his. In a world full of death and dying, sinful beings, endless sins, they're boundless subjects that our saints are called upon to pray for. Christ went to the cross more willingly to be crucified, it appears, than many professors go to pray. Our own dull hearts surely tell us why the text commands us to this precious privilege. Number two, don't worry about what form your prayer takes, whether it is spoken in just the right way. God doesn't weigh your prayers aesthetically to see how musical or poetical or oratorical they are. He doesn't look at the mathematics of prayers to see how long or how many they are. He doesn't taste them to see if they have been properly sweetened with flowery phrases. Even the spoken logic and rationale of your prayers is not of grave concern to God. You who have been Christians and talked to other people, even other Christians, know that some of them can hardly make a sentence that is a correct sentence. Some of them are very ignorant and so forth. But if they are believers, they are believers. Be more concerned with the sincerity of your prayers and with the spiritual biblicity of them in matter. We don't plead with God for our favorite team to win. I don't anyway. I hope you don't. I think God is too high to be interested in which one of those teams wins. God loves a broken and contrite heart. He hates a divided heart. I'll turn, and you don't need to, but we'll just be there a minute, to Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Seems like Paul probably used this verse in his teaching. And in Isaiah 66, go to 57 first if you are turning pages. Isaiah 57. 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. There's a phrase for you to stick in your mind concerning God. God inhabits eternity. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And then on forward to Isaiah 66, verse 2. I'll read 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. And this is what I came here for. Pay attention. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. In other words, him that fears God and seeks him and tries to commune with him. I think that I wanted to use James 5:16, but I will turn there and read it again. It will offer strength anyway. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And now that the one we came for, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. Pray for one another. No Christian should be a Lone Ranger Christian. It's just me, and everybody can go with me or like me or not. But confess your faults one to another. we're more prone to keep secrets, aren't we? There are some kinds of faults that need to be kept secret, but you will have to use your own judgment what those are. I'm not going to try to tell you. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Doesn't say go to Oily Roberts. It says pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, so you'll get back to where I am. Be specific when you confess your prayers. I know what it is to be so ashamed of myself for some foolish or stupid or sorry thing that I have done that can't even get my mind to think of it again. But you can't hide from God. He knew what you were going to do before you did it, knew what you were going to say before you said it. You don't surprise God with anything in your life. And so that makes it easy, seeing He already knows what you've done and what you said, that makes it easy for you to confess. Don't you be overwhelmed by stupid pride and like you're trying to hide it from God. Confess to God and seek forgiveness for your sin, whatever it is. And I'm trying to make it easier for us to pray concerning our sin. Don't affront God by hurrying when you come to confession time. And be specific. Be specific in confessions of sin and contrition. The hypocrite can be very persuasive and specific concerning certain sins. But his darling sins that are most noticeable his avoiding to mention them. Now, to turn a little different direction, delays in answers to prayer. When the Syrophoenician woman prayed, Scripture says Christ answered not a word. It doesn't say He heard not a word. It says He answered not a word. When He had used her to leave lessons for others, and that's us too, He granted her plea. Matthew 7, 24-36. On closer examinations, 24-30. Matthew 7, 24-30. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain I'm so used to looking at MT that I didn't see it was MK. Mark. Mark chapter 7. Mark 24-30. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, It was a bold woman. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now Jesus knew that this was going to go like this and knew what he was going to do and what she was going to say. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. And then in Matthew 15, I don't think I read that one yet. I'll know in a minute. And Jesus went thence and departed in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she him and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If that's the second time I read it, it'll be good for you anyway. Christians must send up their prayers, send up their desires in prayers. But they must learn to follow their prayers with faith, that is, to trust in God. To have patience, even to have long suffering as they wait for their God to answer. Abraham's children had to wait 400 years, suffered for 400 years before the Messiah, their Messiah came. God hears us as soon as we pray, but we seldom hear from him so soon. It doesn't take long for prayers to reach heaven, but very often it takes a while for answers to come from there to us. Remember, Christian, you are in a special school, the only school in the world that makes sons of Satan into sons of God. Thirdly, we mustn't set a time for him who created time to answer our petitions. His time is always the best, whatever it seems. And when we've waited a long time, let us comfort ourselves that though we don't know the final answer to our prayer, yet we know we are asking in the right place if we are seeking a righteous thing. Eli's resignation under afflictive providence is necessary, instructive, and commendable. If we're tempted to question God's omnipotence because we cry so grievously and are not answered, let us remember that omnipotence is at hand. God not only can, but is going to do what his purpose is. And it's all laid out in his mind and laid out under his hand. It is our God's hand. We need to remember that. And most people would not go to heaven if God answered all the prayers that they ask. Omnipotence is with God and is there to spare when God so wisely wills, but not to humor man's impatience or to humor him in harmful folly. But when God wills, he answers the prayers. He is the faithful prayer-hearing God. And by the way, God has his part in giving you the prayer that you have made, that you're asking him to answer. In the case you don't know that, you have to realize that God is involved in everything that happens in this world. He's the faithful, prayer-hearing God, and he never gives the wrong answer to prayer. He is too good to be unmerciful, too wise to be mistaken, too holy to be effeminate and careless, and too loving to his people to say yes when no is a better answer. Now, finally, benefits of prayer. Praying Christians don't have to stay miserable in soul. We are challenged each day that we live. Several times, I might have said many times, because our mind is running all of the time. And we have the ear of God at all times. We have the ear of God at all times. It doesn't feel like it. We may not think it. But Christians live by Scripture. And Scripture, God knows everything. He sees everything. He knows what's going to happen because it's all laid out and controlled by Him. Praying Christians then ought to use this knowledge not to challenge whether it's true or not, because to even challenge it is at least a little bit of unbelief in God, because there's only one God, and if they don't have the ear of God at all times, then he's not dealing with them. The fact is, God knows and is involved in everything that goes on. No, I'm not talking about him being in any way connected with sin so as to be a sinner. The Spirit is within us to guide, to counsel, to teach, and console. God, the Holy Spirit, our God, Father, Son, and Spirit dwell in us. Our Lord and Savior is in heaven to prevent our petitions, Our Lord and Savior is in heaven itself to present our petitions, and he dwells within us also. The Godhead dwells within you, not just the Holy Spirit, but the Godhead. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, and I like to say himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then comes that glorious verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, or forelove, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then from Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How do we come to the throne of grace? In prayer. That's how. That's only how. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is very clearly points out that God is on our side, Christians. God is on our side. And so we should come boldly because Christ is there and He's the one who's paid for our sins and we have His righteousness on our record instead of our sins on our record in heaven. God Himself receives their petitions as a loving Father. And let me see, there's another passage close by. No, it's in chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We can boldly go before God. He is going to hear us when we pray to Him. And don't let your ignorance or fear make you disbelieve what the Scripture says. Prayer shall receive from God either what it desires or what it should desire, what God desires for that case. The one will give fulfillment of desire, the other fulfillment of instruction. In either case, prayer is wondrously beneficial in value. Prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice, a thank offering to God, and a scourge to Satan. If we do not receive the requests that we have made, still we have drawn near to God. When you pray, you have drawn near to God. You have drawn near to heaven. We have spoken to the Almighty. We've talked to God when we pray. And we've been before the courts of heaven and experience the privileges of angels. For be sure, Christian, your prayers do go before God. If you question that, why do you pray? Your prayers go before God. They are considered, not coldly and disdainfully, but according to your own heart's fervency and your soul's greatest need. Judgment is made. An answer given according to our greatest need. Let us not be so dense we do not acknowledge our Father's love to us when we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your great goodness and mercy. Oh, our God, that we human beings, we sinful human beings, have a right to pray to you. And we are commanded to believe that being God, you hear us. And we reason from that you love us. But it's much easier to reason that you love us because we have your word that you do. You gave your Holy Son to bear your wrath upon our sins. And you gave his righteousness to us. Oh, our God, indeed, we have access to heaven in prayer and access to our God. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.